Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 83. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. My co-host David Todd from TheHammerSpeaks.com is traveling today. And being as how we did a special episode on Thursday, hopefully you have listened to that. We dedicated that mostly to Hines Ward and Aaron Smith and all the transactions that's gone on. We wanted to set aside today to do mostly draft talk coming out of the NFL Combine that, of course, took place last week in Indianapolis. Back on the show today, I was able to get Cecil Lammy again. If you're a longtime listener of this podcast, we had Cecil on before the AFC wildcard game against Denver to help break down the Denver side of the ball. Cecil is a very active kind of a scout, not an officially a scout, but he's a real heavy draft nick. He's the NFL insider, as I said, for 102.3 ESPN in Denver. He goes to the Senior Bowl, all the combine stuff. He goes year in, year out. Goes to a lot of the pro day workouts as well. I really, really enjoy talking to Cecil. I really like picking his brain, comparing my film study, what I see on some of these kids every year, to what he sees as well on some of these kids. And a few of the guys that we're going to talk about today in the interview, Cordy Glenn out of Georgia, of course, Don Terry Poe, Dante Hightower, the linebacker out of University of Alabama. We're going to talk about Mike Martin, the Michigan guy, Michigan nose tackle, as well, along with a few others, some interior. We're going to talk about the Steelers' needs heading into this draft, some key guys that they could have their eyes on, leading up to the draft now. But if you like hardcore NFL draft kind of breakdown, player evaluation, and all like that, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. You can follow, I'm going to hit this up during the interview as well too, but follow Cecil on Twitter at Cecil Lammy, Lammey. If you like this podcast, when you're done listening to it and you are on Twitter, give Cecil a shout out on Twitter as well too. Let him know that you heard him on the Terrible Podcast and that you really enjoyed his work. I know he'd be thrilled to hear from some of our listeners that way. And as always, if you have any questions about some of the players we talked about or any that we did not talk about that you'd like to hear us talk about in future episodes, hit the show up at send us an email, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow the show on Twitter at Terrible Podcast. You can follow my co-host David Todd at Hammer Speaks as well. Sit back, relax. A little bit shorter show than normal. I'm trying to fill up some time here, I guess. But without further ado, here's my interview with Cecil Lammy, NFL insider for 102.3 ESPN. Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast. I'm pleased to be joined once again. He didn't bring us good luck last time we had him on. It was before the Steelers played the Denver Broncos in the AFC wildcard game. Of course, I'm talking about Cecil Lammy, NFL insider for 102.3 ESPN in Denver. He also happens to be a big Steelers fan as well. And he once again was at the NFL scouting combine this past week. He's a big draft geek as well, does a great job with his coverage. He also hosts the Audibles podcast for footballguys.com, does a great job with that. Cecil, that's a long introduction. Welcome you back to the Terrible Podcast.
Well, I thank you for having me. And again, the scouting combine, the draft season is my favorite season because it's front office versus front office, and maybe it takes a couple of years before we see who comes out victorious. But I'm looking forward to talking draft with you, my man.
Let's hammer right into it. Of course, a lot of Steelers news the last few days. The expected release of Hines Ward, James Ferrier, Aaron Smith,
Chris Kimuatu. There may be one more coming, but it looks like that's the big bloody results of that. You know, it kind of reconfirms what some of the draft needs will be coming up for the Steelers. I like to break down a lot of tape myself, Cecil, and there's one guy that I'm really struggling with, and I want to start with him. That's the offensive lineman, the tackle out of the University of Georgia, Cordy Glenn. Now, I'm going to tell you what I see on tape, and you tell me. I'm missing the boat on this guy, evidently, compared to what others are. He, of course, played all four positions, you know, at University of Georgia over his career, but most recently left tackle. This is a guy that projects as a guard, I think, at the next level here. You know, to me, he's kind of top-heavy, Cecil. He had a nice 40 time, good straight-line speed at the combine. I wasn't too impressed with his agility, though. Am I missing the boat on this guy? Is this guy a tackle at the next level? Is he a guard, or is he really just a right tackle?
Yeah, I think he's a right tackle. You know, again, you talked about his combine straight-line speed. That was evidence in Indianapolis. But he's got a little inconsistent with his initial get-off, his initial quickness, that first kick step for a tackle. You're going to ship him inside, and then I don't really see him as a pulling guard. I don't see him as a left guard. I see him as more of a right guard. And again, a huge man, you know, one of the biggest guards in this class, measuring about 345. You know, this guy can get out there and loves to run block. He's got a nasty attitude, surprising fluidity. When he gets out there and gets his hands on a defensive guy, he can take him and flow him just right out of the play. So downfield, I don't see him getting to the second level consistently enough at the pro level. Again, you like the versatility that you saw in college, inconsistent with the initial quickness. A fluid guy once he gets his hands off of you, but not the quickest to get his hands off you. So run blocking, a drive blocker, yes. Fundamentals, a little bit lazy, not the type of guy that you want pulling. And pass protection, a little bit of a problem for him as well. He's got natural balance and decent agility, but again, suffers with that initial quickness, the first step. He can get affected by those speed rushers. And as we've seen in the National Football League, now interior pass rushers are, you know, we've already got a premium on the outside linebackers and the defensive ends that get after the quarterback. Now we're going to see more of a premium put on the interior pass rushers, and that could be a problem for Glenn as well. I'm not a huge fan of him. In fact, I think there's guys in the second and third round, I'm sure we'll get to on this show, that I think would be as good, if not better, additions than Cordy Glenn. You know, like a lot of people, I'm looking at the first round saying, Dante Hightower, please.
I hear you. So I'm not wrong in thinking that this guy could actually fall out of the first round or definitely be bypassed by the Steelers. Am I correct there?
Yeah, I mean, late first round. The Broncos are right behind the Steelers. They have a need at the guard position and specifically at the right guard position. We don't know how Chris Cooper's coming back from that snapped ankle, Joe Theismann's snapped ankle that he suffered in the playoffs, but you look at Cordy Glenn, I don't even think Denver has him on the radar. So, yeah, he's probably going to fall out of the first.
Well, that makes me feel good that I'm doing my film study right as far as him, because I know a lot of people kind of have him as a first-round talent. So let's move on. I'm still going to tease you with Hightower here a couple of players away. I want to touch on Don Terry Poe as the next guy here, the junior nose tackle out of Memphis. Just blew the doors off at the NFL Combine. Great size, great speed, great agility from what I've seen. But when I go back and I look at the two games that I found on ESPN3 against lesser competition, this is a guy that moved up and down to the defensive line, never really played over the nose too terribly much, never really responsible for taking on too many double teams at kind of at the point of attack. He does have, in my opinion, Cecil, he's a guy that can be molded, but he never really jumped out on tape, in my opinion. Now, what is your opinion on Don Terry Poe?
Yeah, Poe certainly moved out of the range of the Steelers. The Broncos as well. Broncos need some interior help on the defensive line. Poe's going to move up potentially even into the top 10 if Carolina could consider him there in the first round. And that comes from his combine performance. And again, we talk about that dangerous P word here now around the time of the combine and before in the pre-draft process. It's potential. You know, Poe, I agree with you at Memphis. didn't flash as much. You saw a big guy, but you're thinking, okay, early second rounder. You know, we knew he was strong. Dude could bench press 500 pounds, so that was never an issue. But with that motor, is the consistent effort there from play to play? And on film, which I think is the most important facet of a player's pre-draft grade, the film study. Combine performance, you throw on 10%. A lot of scouts will tell you a guy won't drop or fall or rise or fall more than a round from the scouting combine. So Poe, already seen as an early second round, late first round guy, now moving up a little bit, top 15, perhaps even top 10 as well. The strength is there. We saw the burst to split gaps and make plays on his own did happen from time to time. But again, I go back to the consistency. He has that explosive burst off the line. People have tossed out the names Vince Wilfork, Haloti Ngata, et cetera. And I agree with those comparisons. But again, Ngata with that motor, even Wilfork, the big man, you know, out there getting it done, making plays each and every down. Now, what I like about Poe is surprisingly light on his feet, shows the ability to break down reasonably well and make a tackle in smaller spaces. And you've got to have the ability to peek in the backfield, shed a guy, and get to the football. And Poe has the ability to do that. But again, I look at level of competition at Memphis, and I say, well, he wasn't exactly tearing it up in college. So it is a bit of a concern. But again, combine numbers. In the scouting world, there is a lot of CYA now where people like to point to the numbers and say, this is why we should take the guy, you know, and reasons to place importance on said numbers. And yes, he impressed at the combine, but on film, not as impressive. Still a very talented player and one that I think is going to be out of the reach of the Steelers when they draft in the first round.
And, you know, I guess with his versatility, he's a guy that could also fit as a kind of a three technique, you know, at a defensive tackle in a 4-3 as well. Would you agree?
Right. Yeah, definitely. And there was people before the combine that said, well, Poe's more of a nose. He's your guy, you know, zero technique, right in the middle. People have brought up Casey Anthony. I don't like that comparison, obviously, because Poe's taller. I've got you want to talk about a short fire plug, I'll talk about Mike Martin a little bit later. You know, that's more Casey Hampton in my eyes than is Dontari Poe. But with his agility that he showed at the combine, someone could give him a chance as that three technique on the defensive line in a 4-3, in addition to what we already knew he could do, and that's be a quality nose tackle.
Explain the term breakdown to our listeners.
Yeah, when a defensive lineman breaks down, it's essentially, it's not quite open field because it's usually inside the box. But you have to be able to stop what you're doing, find the ball, and get to it. For linebackers, we would call it scrape and flow, but it's a bigger area for a linebacker to cover. For an interior lineman, you have to break down. You can't just keep pushing or keep fighting. You have to be able to stop, redirect, and get to the football.
All right, good. You know, I like to try to pass along some of these terms to our listeners and all as we go here. You mentioned Mike Martin. I had a post up about him yesterday. He met with Mike Tomlin at the NFL Combine. This is a guy that's not traditionally a nose tackle size as far as weight goes, but he measured in, I think, 6'1 and 3/8 at the Combine, 306, 32 and a quarter arms, very nice 40 time, 4.88, I think. The thing, I have done very limited film study on him. He's on my list to do, but limited stuff that I've seen, you know, kind of concerned about him handling the double team. Tell me your thoughts on Mike Martin. Is he a guy that can play the zero and two gap and be what the Steelers need as far as a nose tackle goes?
Well, and I've always said this. I give all the love and respect in the world to Casey Hampton because really in a 3-4, you know, the Broncos dabbled with the 3-4 here a couple of years ago. Listen, you need that nose tackle. He is the centerpiece. You know, he's the fulcrum of your defense, literally and figuratively. He is the middle piece. He's the most important piece. And what Casey Hampton has done throughout his entire career as a Steeler has been phenomenal. It's been outstanding. And he's been exactly what Pittsburgh has needed for this defense. We know that Casey doesn't have much time left in Pittsburgh this season, and then he's probably done. They need to find his replacement. And, you know, whereas Poe, kind of a taller guy, likes to penetrate a little bit more, you know, again, in that Haloti Ngata type style, you look at Mike Martin. And I'll go back to his high school days where he was a state wrestling champion. And what do we know about wrestlers? First off, balance and they know they understand leverage. So this guy's going to get low. He's already short. You know, again, and if I'm the Steelers, I'm looking at shorter defensive tackles in the mold of Casey Hampton. You know, you get this guy in NFL weight program, maybe he can put on 10 pounds. He's already rocking it over 300 pounds. So, you know, maybe he puts on an initial 10 pounds, 15 pounds of muscle, what have you. But he already understands leverage. He stays low. He has good leg drive. And he can get a little bit of penetration. Mostly he's known as a run stuffer. He uses hustle to stop the run. He's able to get skinny and split double teams. That's one thing you'll see. So, you know, people concerned about defensive linemen who get too upright. Well, Martin's short, so he doesn't get upright. He stays low, use that low center of gravity, low pad level, and the leg drive. Now, if the play goes away from him, I talk about with linebackers, you know, scrape and flow. Well, as a defensive lineman, you have to be able to do that as well and run down the plays sometimes from behind. He is a catch-and-drag tackler who can drive people into the ground. High-character guy, really good kid. He worked in a Ndamukong Suh summer football camp. A tough guy. High motor, toughness displayed a couple of times this last season, only missing one game, played through two sprained ankles. So that's exactly the type of guy you want. You want that short, stout, fire plug in the middle who can hold strong up against the run, is a sound tackler, high character, high motor guy. I love the pick of Mike Martin. And when you're taking him in the third round as your eventual replacement to Casey Hampton, I just think that's the value the Steelers can't ignore.
Is that the grade that you're hearing is on him right now, kind of a late third, early fourth?
I would put it somewhere in the third. I don't know if it's quite late third. And again, you know, impressed at the combine. And he's a hell of an interview, too. So, you know, this is another thing that will help him grade well with teams. So I would put it as a solid third round, you know, mid to somewhere in the late. He's going to be around where the Steelers can nab him. And I really think that would be their best pick for him at that point.
One guy that jumped off, you know, he had a kind of a rough season at Washington, recovered at the Senior Bowl, had a great game there, and really I thought had a great combine too, really jumps off the film, is Alameda Ta'amahu from University of Washington. Talk about him and where his draft stock is right now.
Yeah, and Alameda Ta'amahu seen now as a late second, early third round pick by a lot of people I've talked to, and you know, I had the chance to watch him against CU earlier this season in addition to watching other games after the college football season was over, and the bus couldn't stop him. I mean, they had no chance. Ryan Miller, it doesn't matter who he went up against in that game. He's just so tough, so physical, and an aggressive mindset. Right? You know, really one of these guys that's like a Tasmanian devil on the inside. Good initial quickness off the snap, strong interior presence, and I like his initial burst to split gaps. You don't think of him as much of a penetrator, but he does have that ability because he knows how to get that snap count. He does have a good get-off, so to speak. Often requires double teams. I know CU tried to do that to him. It didn't work, by the way. And he is a devastating tackler. I talked about Mike Martin as being kind of a chase, catch-and-drag tackler. Basically, Ta'amahu bludgeons people. So, you know, that's the type of guy that you like having on your defense that's going to be imposing, that's going to bring that aggressive mentality. And, you know, that's Steelers football. He's a guy that's going to go out there and hit hard, and you're not going to want to see him when you play up against a team, especially if the Steelers get him. Now, he's not a quick-twitch guy. He does have that good get-off, but once he's gathered into that double team, you know, you're not going to see him shed those players and get to the football as consistently as he needs to be. But I like his strength, I like his mentality, and I like his aggression in initial bursts off the line.
Not a first-round grade on him at all, even after
no?
No,
late second, early third is what I'm hearing.
Okay, good deal. Like I said, he really, out of all the film study of the nose tackles that I've really looked at, he really has jumped off the film as somebody that could come in and really contribute, you know, the second half of his rookie season, in my opinion, that he really has impressed me. All right, let's get to Dont'a Hightower. The Steelers, of course, Ferrier jettisoned today. That means Larry Foote's probably going to be wearing the green sticker on the helmet to start the season. Stephenson Sylvester or Sylvester Stevenson. I always get that mixed up there. This guy only has played like 70-something snaps in two seasons for the Steelers on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not convinced he's the future at the position, so that definitely leaves open a guy, someone like Hightower, potential first-round draft pick. It sounds like you're real high on this guy, too. Tell me why he is a fit, why he's the perfect selection at number 24 spot, and tell me the bad on him.
Well, good and bad. I'll start with the positive here with Hightower, a guy that's very smart, has high football intelligence. Well, I remember Rolando McClain at Alabama. Now, McClain hasn't quite played up to his potential with the Raiders there, but the guy that took the baton, so to speak, as the defensive leader, captain on the inside, calling plays, directing traffic, that was Dante Hightower in Alabama. Worked hard to rehab from that knee injury that he had in 2009 and, you know, maintain that film study, weight room work. This guy is in there all the time. From people I've talked to, said he loves to work out, loves to study film. And, again, I go back to the football intelligence. And when you talk about inside linebacker, you've got to have that guy that understands what an offense is trying to do. He does have that football intelligence. Then, physically, you have to have a stout tackler, someone who doesn't take false steps. And this is one thing that really stands out for Hightower, because a lot of the times you want to freeze those linebackers as an offense. You run the play action. You'll make them take a step. And that's all you need in the National Football League. You need a false step here or there by a safety or a linebacker. Hightower is so smart and so football intelligent that he knows. He's able to read those play fakes, and he stays put, able to turn and get into coverage if he has to. I like the way that he scrapes and floats. He avoids traps at the line of scrimmage when he's running down a play. And he doesn't guess. It's very important for an inside linebacker. Don't guess where the hole is. Know where the running back's going, and you see that. And then we talk about being a devastating tackler, a guy that comes up, explodes the play, looks like he gets shot out of a cannon, but then again has the lateral agility to play side to side. And I like the fact that he does not take those false steps as a defender. Good run stuffer, good mobility, stonewalls of running backs, and big bodied, you know, a big guy that is going to get up there and mix it up and play strong in the middle of that defense. Now, angles, if he doesn't have the perfect angle, this is where his lack of speed shows up. You know, so this is where, all right, you're playing against a Rob Gronkowski. You don't want him on that guy, you know, or Aaron Hernandez, something like that. These athletic tight ends can cause some problems for these linebackers at the second level. We've seen that for several teams. But as a run stuffer and for more traditional inline tight ends, he's very good at that. Now, the thing that he makes up for, because he doesn't have that speed to turn and keep up with some of the best tight ends, is that he does understand angles. And so he'll know kind of where the route's going, know how to get there in the quickest path. So that covers up his lack of that true straight line speed. But overall, I love Hightower as the pick. I think he fits. He's smart enough. He's the type of hitter the Steelers, I mean, there's a blueprint for Steelers football. And I think you look at Hightower, and they know it well. You know, Chad Brown's one of my best friends. He coaches my son in Pop Warner football. Listen, and he shared stories with me that the Steelers just know. They've got a blueprint of a great defender, of a great linebacker. I know Chad played at a different position, but my point is this. I believe that Hightower fits that blueprint.
Is his weight going to be a concern at all? I know he got it down under 270 for the combine. Is he going to be able to manage that? What do you think he's going to lift at his pro day?
Yeah, and, you know, he's a strong guy. Again, I go back to the people that have told me he loves to work out, loves to lift, spent a lot of time in the weight room and the film room. Weight in an NFL program, I don't believe it would be an issue, especially on a veteran defense. You know, you bring this guy in, the culture that Pittsburgh has created, and the fact that you're a Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, I don't think a guy's going to get sloppy if he shows up with Dick LeBeau and company.
Good stuff, good stuff. Let's kind of move kind of fast on here. Where was I going to go? Oh, offensive, we talked about value in the second and third round for interior linemen. There's a few of them that jump out at me. The one, the small small school kid, his help me out with his name here.
Amini Sulitolu?
Yeah, help me. Yeah, I can't pronounce that last name. Out of Midwestern State, kind of a nasty kid, kind of everything that you look for in a Steelers interior offensive guard. Tell me a little bit about this kid. Is he a second or third round talent?
You know, I would see him as a second round guy. Maybe he goes to the third, but where the Steelers would pick in the third, I don't know if he'd be there. And one of these guys, Cordy Glenn in the first, I'm not a fan of. We talked about him earlier. I am a big fan of them taking a guy like Sulitolu in the second round. And he's strong. He's nimble. You brought up that nasty attitude. And, again, listen, we know Big Ben can, you know, make plays with three, four defenders hanging off of him. And we don't want to get him beat up. All right? They got to do a better job. And outside of Pouncey, offensive line's question mark all throughout, every single position outside of the center position. In my eyes, you bring in a guy in like Sulitolu with the speed to play right guard, a nasty attitude, a hustle guy. He doesn't have long foot speed is what scouts call it, so I don't think he's going to pull as a left guard. But you get him in at right guard, he's got that attitude. Perfect kind of road grader, if you will. Strong, nimble, and again, low center of gravity, understands leverage, will push guys around. You question level of competition. A couple years at a community college, a couple years at Division II. But I know scouts really, really interested in this guy, interested in seeing what he can do at the next level. And, you know, hey, there's been plenty of small school players that make NFL careers, long NFL careers. And I believe, and a lot of scouts I've talked to believe that Sulitolu could be the next one.
Throw me out a couple other names to keep an eye on that fit the Steelers as interior linemen sort of in the second and third round range.
Yeah, in that range, Brandon Brooks. Anybody? Miami, Ohio prospect. Last time Steelers got a guy from there, turned out pretty good. So, you know, Brandon Brooks, again, 6'5", about 350. See him as a late third, fourth round guy. Very patient, a balanced kid. Weight may be an issue there, but again, get him to NFL weight program. They'll be able to monitor that. But a big guy, road grader, and does have a little bit of that attitude. Not as much of an attitude as Sulitolu. Rashad Johnson. Kid that I saw in the All-Star road trip. Every year I go to the Shrine Game, the Senior Bowl, and the Players All-Star Classic. Rashad Johnson was out there from California, PA, 6'3", 313. You see him more as a fifth-round guy. But, I mean, there's quality additions they can make throughout this draft at that interior line position. Even Kevin Colbert commented at the Combine that this year tackles are top-heavy as far as the class goes. Center, there's a couple, literally, and that's about it. And guard is fairly deep, and it's really kind of a deeper class than we're used to seeing at the offensive guard position. So I fully expect the Steelers to take advantage of that this year.
Okay, now I'm going to put you in a situation. You have Don Terry Poe falls down lower than expected, and you're on the clock. You have your choice between Don Terry Poe or Dante Hightower. What's your pick going to be there?
That's a tough one. And, you know, obviously I like what Poe did at the Combine. Interior linebacker, again, it's one of those positions that it's not really that deep. So I'm going to stick with Hightower there because, you know, you get a big fall off after Hightower. Your next best guy is probably Michael Kendricks from Cal, and I don't think he fits what the Steelers want to do. He's only 5'11", 240. You know, Vontae's perfect. Don't Vontae's me, bro. Hey, you know, that guy's probably going to fall to the third day now. He's probably a fifth-round pick now after interviewing poorly, after performing poorly at the Combine, a guy that already had issues about his demeanor on the field and off the field issues. So Vontae's perfect's falling off. So inside linebacker, it's really not that heavy of a class. That's why I put a premium on Hightower over Poe.
You know, the Steelers could possibly be in the market for a tight end. You know, Wesley Saunders suspended first four games of the season. Heath Miller getting around that 3-0 number, although his play has not fallen off. David Johnson's going to be tendered. He's a restricted free agent, but he's mostly an H-back fullback. Any chance they take a shot at one of these tight ends in possibly the second round?
Well, you know, second-round tight end, there's going to be a couple of guys that could be there. Now, Kobe Flaner, I think, could end up being the best of the bunch out of this group. He didn't get a workout at the Combine due to injury. But, again, a guy that can move all over the field, attack the deep middle seam, very soft hands. Dwayne Allen is there. A lot of people see him as a first-round pick, the number one tight end on the board. I don't see that as a possibility for the Steelers. Orson Charles is there from Georgia, but he measured in a little bit small for my eyes. If you want to take that guy, that's the move tight end. And, again, another kid I saw on the All-Star road trip this year, Ladarius Green, from Louisiana Lafayette, 6'6", 238. Really reminded me of Aaron Hernandez. You know, a little H-back, a little tight end, a little slot receiver. Kind of do whatever with this guy. Maybe, just maybe, we know the Steelers traditionally like, you know, let's block guys, let's run. Well, maybe they want to have a weapon tight end. I think Ladarius Green would be the best choice there. This tight end class really isn't that impressive. So for my money, I would take Green, you know, third, fourth round, somewhere in there. Other than that, I'm not taking Charles. Fleener and Allen are probably off the board by the time you'd consider them.
So basically you're telling me, you know, your draft board's kind of stacking up for the Steelers possibly go linebacker round one, probably either a defensive tackle or a guard in round two, and then the opposite of whatever they don't take in
right.
in round two and round three there.
Yeah. And, you know, again, those are the three specific needs, guard, nose tackle, and inside linebacker. I see because of the there's no depth at the linebacker position, that gives it the premium. That gives Hightower the pick of the first round. And then the only wrinkle they could throw in is I know they showed some interest, some would say strong interest, in Isaiah Pete from Cincinnati. Now, haven't seen Pete at the Combine and at the Senior Bowl, interviewed him both times, great kid, good mind for the game, and a versatile guy. Now, I was worried off film at Cincinnati, like, here's a jack-of-all-trades, master of none, kind of a Cyrus Gray. Not quite as patient as Gray, but still, you know, he'd do catch the ball a little bit, he'd be in between the tackles a little bit, but never really wow you. Well, he did wow me at the Senior Bowl, and again, coming through with a solid combine interview. So Isaiah Pete could be a consideration there because, you know, what happens with Rashard? Does he begin the season on the PUP list? You know, Isaac Redmond, there's not that much of a drop-off. I think you and I have talked about that before. I really like Redmond, but after him, you know, what are they going to do at the running back position? Maybe Pete is a guy that they would break outside of offensive guard or nose tackle to go ahead and pick.
Does Marvin McNutt come off as a guy that you could see in a Steelers uniform, you know, kind of a mid-round guy, kind of a possession type guy?
Yeah, and with that uniform in college, of course, you know, it's kind of looks like a Steelers guy, right? And McNutt, I like him because he's a big-bodied guy. He's not going to get separation. You know, that's troublesome at the NFL level. What he does is he fights for the football. He makes contested catches. The problem is he has to make contested catches because he can't get separation. I like the fact that he squares his shoulders. He comes back to the football. These are kind of pet peeves of mine. You know, from a quarterback standpoint, you got to have a guy that comes back to the ball that will drift towards you, and he does a good job of that. He's tough. He's physical. He's a good blocker. I could see him as, you know, and the Steelers, hey, whether it was Brown and Sanders, remember the days of Troy Edwards and Linus Swede? I mean, what happened? Pittsburgh all of a sudden is crushing it when they pick wide receivers. So that if they get McNutt, I'm just shaking my head. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the guy.
I hear you. Cecil, great work as always. Enjoy your stuff on Twitter as well. For those listening, you can follow Cecil on Twitter at Cecil Lammy, Lammey. Big Steelers fan, big draft nut. We'll be pointing you in all the right directions going forward. Cecil, we're going to have you on again in a couple more weeks and check in and see some of these kids after these pro days and take your temperature on a few of them going forward there. And we appreciate your work and appreciate you joining us on the Terrible Podcast today.
Hey, thanks as always, my man. And I'm set to head off to a couple pro days myself. So I'll report and tell you what I see.
And that's Cecil Lammy, NFL insider for 102.3 ESPN in Denver. Read his work at footballguys.com as well, too. Listen to his podcast, The Audibles. Great work as always.
And we appreciate Cecil's work. I hope you enjoyed that talk that we had with him. We're going to be having him on again over the, you know, leading up to the draft, along with a few other kind of, you know, NFL scout types, people that are really hardcore like I am, breaking down these film and breaking down these prospects. Once again, if you enjoyed this show, you know, let us know about it. Send us an email. Let Cecil know on Twitter that you enjoyed his appearance today as well. I know he'd be thrilled to hear from you. And David Todd should be back with me on Tuesday, and we'll get back into you know, what we do, breaking down the latest Steelers news, talking more draft, some salary cap things, free agency with Mike Wallace as well. So thanks for listening as always. This has been the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, season 2, episode 83. We'll talk to you Tuesday.